Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Good morning. Ollie, stop chewing on the couch. How is everybody doing today? It's a beautiful, windy Sunday morning here. We are just getting everything set up. Yesterday was not a great day for us. Miss Whitney had a migraine, and so I had to prep everything all by my lonesome, which is never fun because I would much rather have my wife helping me.
Sorry.
So, I don't know what I'm doing on Facebook. Oh, that's rude. I just hit this clipping thing and now it's frozen and I don't know what's going on. Honey, would you mind pulling up Facebook and just making sure we're okay there? Not sure what I did. So, it says it's still live. I don't know how to get out of this thing here. Oh, there we go. Okay. Whew, what a morning it has started off to be. The dogs have driven me crazy. It's just been one of those mornings. I know, I feel like we have that every Sunday where I say, oh, it's been a week or it's been a morning or whatever, whatever. But when the wife's out, it's just not ever good for me. So. Much praise goes out to the wife for everything she does because she is awesome. So, that being said, I'd say let's get started. Yeah. I got it. Yeah. I got it to switch over finally. So, there's a puppy in our midst. I've got the wrong stuff on the wrong screen, don't I? Let me see if I can fix that. Oh, it's not on. Oh, my bad, bro. My bad. Yeah, for reals. Save that. So today we are, of course, going to cover Galatians chapter 5. Sorry. I'm terrible. Welcome to Walking in Grace with Matthew and Whitney. All right. I need to pull this up and over so I can make sure everything's running right. Oh my goodness gracious. Baby, I'm losing it. Of course, our podcast is up as well. What is going on here?
I'm going to do some editing on this one.
There is no editing on live, baby.
Huh?
What do you mean? Okay. All right. So let's get started here. All right. Galatians chapter 5. I did a short clip yesterday. If you weren't able to see it, go back and check it out. But basically, I run over the synopsis of what Galatians 5 is all about. And that is through this chapter in Galatians, Paul reiterates that we are free, free from the law, free from sin, free from the grave, all through the act of Jesus Christ being crucified, buried, and raised again. So why would you choose to put yourself back under the law? That doesn't make any sense. When you choose to put yourself under the law, you aren't living under faith. or the grace that God has given us. And when you're choosing not to put yourself under grace or faith, then you are severing yourself from Christ.
So I kind of just had like a little epiphany, if you will, when you said, so why would you choose to put yourself back under the law? I think there's a couple of reasons. One of those is because I feel like we as human beings like to stay in control of things.
Yeah.
And when we are putting everything in the hands of somebody else and trusting them to do something for us and we don't have any power over it, that's a scary thing.
That's true.
And so if we as human beings feel like our salvation is the most important thing to us as Christians, right? So if we're like saying, I have to not do anything to be saved, that doesn't sound right, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't feel safe, does it?
No, it doesn't, because you're literally laying down every single thing that you can do for your own salvation and putting it into somebody else's hands. But we have to remember that as the creator and of us, God took all of that work for us, and that's actually comforting. We should look to that as a comfort instead of saying, well, I have no control or power in this.
Right.
That's good for us, because if I did have control or power, I would fail miserably.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's actually a good thing when you think about who has the control and who has the power. It's not me. Thank God for that.
Right.
Because if I did, I would royally screw it up. Royally. In every aspect, in every way, shape, and form, every single day, every minute of my life. Because sin doesn't start on the action. Sin starts in your brain.
Yep.
So if I'm doing something sinful, that didn't start with my action of doing it. That started with my thinking of doing it. And how many thoughts do we have a day that are not acted upon? How many times do we see somebody that we've had beef with that we think sinful thoughts of and
yeah.
we don't act on it? You're sinning consistently every single day. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a perfect Christian and you live a perfect life. You sin every day.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
and there's no such thing as a perfect Christian. So
there's not. But we like to think there is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where the control comes in.
And that's where different, I can't do this screen thing. That's where different denominations comes in too. And we're not here to talk trash about different denominations. I know it hasn't been our goal to talk bad about other denominations, but it's our goal to bring light to the truth. And I know that's something that I've done a lot of is jump on other denominations. And that's something that Whitney and I talked about. And we're going to try not to do that anymore, because all we want to do is bring the truth. So that being said, I'm going to move on from that and just talk about dispensationalism, if you will. So,
you saying denominations, one moment. You saying denominations. As I was driving here, I drive by two churches to come in here, and I'm thinking denomination, both preaching the wrong thing. And that was the other point that I had of why do we put ourselves back under the law is because denominations teach that.
Yeah.
And denominations teach different things. So how do we know what's true? We have to get back to the root of the Bible instead of breaking off into these man-made denominations and picking things that we think sound right in the Bible and then putting that into a denomination. We have to use the Bible as our source, and that is our denomination, if you will. It's not a denomination, but that is should be our only source of the truth, is the Bible. And when we get away from that and go into a denomination, that's when we get into trouble and go back under the law.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm gonna fight the urge. Let's go ahead and pray. Don't look at the video. Don't look at the video. Whatever. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you today. We want to ask that you bless this time that we have. Bless the words that come out of our mouths for your will. Just help us to remember that you are our goal. living for you is what we should be striving to do every day, not living under the flesh. Give us a good study today. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Quickly put the hat back on. Don't look at the video. All right. We're going to start off, of course, like we always do. We're going to read through, and we're going to stop where needed, and we're going to discuss things. If you are watching live, make sure you drop a comment. I think I need to change YouTube to where people can actually comment. But if you're watching on YouTube and you want to leave a comment, jump over to our Facebook page, jump over to the Podbean. I've got all of it in the description on YouTube. I've got all the links on YouTube in the description of this video. So ask us questions. Oh, I need to put our email in there too. Was it matthew.whitney.moody@gmail.com? Shoot us an email if you got a question. We'll be more than happy to answer. If we don't know the answer, we will find it. We'll look it up. We'll reach out to our contacts, and we'll get you a proper answer.
You can leave a message on Podbean?
Oh, yeah. You can leave a comment. Oh, cool. I didn't know that. Yeah. All right. So, jumping in, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. And this is actually what I covered in my short the other day. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So Christ made us free. Don't wrap yourself up in the yoke of bondage, which is the law. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. This says exactly what we've been saying this whole time. Plain and simple, we've talked so much about how we're no longer under the law, and all we have to do is believe. Paul was given a specific gospel from Jesus Christ, and that is that we just believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. We believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he was crucified, buried, and raised again. Now, you have to believe the whole gospel to be saved. It's not just little pieces here and there. You have to believe the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you don't believe that Christ was born of the virgin, then you don't believe the whole gospel, because that is a very important part of the gospel. Because if Jesus Christ wasn't born of a virgin, then it was just a normal birth, which means Jesus was sinful. Because back in Genesis, when it's talking about Adam and Eve, and man is born under sin. From the time that Adam and Eve sinned for the first time, all man was born under sin. So if Jesus Christ wasn't born of a Virgin Mary, which means he wasn't born of the Holy Spirit, then he was man, which means he was born of sin. And David Reed does a great video on this. I don't remember what it's called, but if you go to, my brain just shut off, Columbus Bible Church on YouTube, look that up. You can go, he's got a ton of videos. So great resource, and very knowledgeable. I actually talked to him the other day about a question I had, and he was very thorough and knowledgeable. And
that man can spit scriptures.
Oh my gosh!
Left and right, without having to reference anything. It's incredible. I've
heard many preachers, and none of them can quote scripture like he can. So, but anyway. We're all saved through grace. No works required, just believe. And faith isn't a work. So it's the easiest thing in the world to do. So verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So what does that mean? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Well, what it's talking about is bad doctrine or bad theology. A little bit of bad doctrine or theology will cause a big ripple effect. In other words, if the right thing isn't being taught, then the wrong information could be put out amongst a large group of people and could ruin salvation for so many. We're seeing a lot of that now with all the false doctrine teaching churches. I'll let you put that together yourself. We have to know the Word of God and how to read it. False teaching is blasphemy.
And I'll even go a little further to say, if you find yourself on the side of majority, sometimes it's good to pause and reflect.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. The vast majority of people aren't going to be studying the correct thing. Satan is going to do everything he can to stop people from seeing the truth. He is going to get in the way. He is going to be a roadblock as much as possible.
Especially if you hear the truth, if you hear something that we're teaching and you're turned off by one little thing, you're going to think, oh, well, that's not how my preacher teaches it. I'm gone. Your spiritual battle, warfare is real, 1,000%. This is Satan's world. So if you hear some of the truth, Satan is going to find every way to stop you from hearing it. Yeah. I can't tell you how many people I've reached out to on Facebook and I've gotten blocked because I've said, well, actually, did you know that the Bible says this? And they are gone immediately.
Yeah, they refuse to listen.
They don't have any more time for me.
Oh, I forgot what I was about to say.
It's tried to pull our spiritual warfare has been active since Matthew learned this.
Oh, yeah, it's been bad.
Many times where we've almost not been able to do this podcast for some reason because something has come up. Like last night, he had to study without me because I had a migraine and I slept for legitimately 17 hours.
Yeah.
So I was completely absent. This was all on him. So there are multiple things that will happen. So if you find yourself struggling to, even if you think, well, what they're saying, that doesn't sound right, but everything else I might be okay with, don't stop studying it. Continue to research it yourself. That's what happens with a lot of this. Whenever people start to hear the truth, they hear one thing and they're like, nope, I'm out. Go and study it. It may not be what you think it is, and it may end up being the truth. I don't know why you're giving me that look.
I like hearing you talk about it.
Well, it's just
I love having such a godly wife.
I've been through it. I've seen it in you. There's been times where I'll say something when you were on the fence about things and you were like, I don't think so. My dad didn't teach that. And then he would just shut down and then we'd have a fight and he was gone. And man, I tell you what though, prayer helps tremendously. Anytime we are going to study or anytime we're in the middle of something that we don't understand, if you stop and pray, I guarantee you that is
something
when your prayers
will be shown
are going to be the most effective. Because if you just pray for God to open your eyes, hear the truth, tell him you don't want your thoughts to get in the way. You want to hear his truth, he will hear you on that.
Yeah. So something I thought about while we were talking about people preaching false doctrine. It's not that they know that they're preaching false doctrine.
Right.
They're not doing it on purpose.
Some of them do know, but in some of them,
right. But the majority of them think that they're teaching correctly. So they're not out trying to blaspheme. They're not out trying to get you away from God. They think they're teaching the truth. And the fact of the matter is, and I hate continuing to go back to this, but they get indoctrinated through seminary.
Through somebody else's interpretation.
Yes.
Which again, all this leads back to the source. If you're not reading out of the King James Version, you will be misled and you will be led astray because you don't have, there, you can't put the pieces together in a source that does not have God's pure word in it.
Right. However, you can be saved from other versions.
You can.
I'm not going to deny that. But the problem is, this stuff is written in other versions too.
Yeah.
So the ways Paul's writings are written correctly enough in other versions.
Some other versions.
Right. That you can see the truth. But because these people have been indoctrinated into teaching what they're told to teach, they don't see the truth because they don't focus on Paul's writings.
But I will say that even though you can be saved by other versions, and even though you can, you said correct enough, which that's...
Well, that, right.
I know what you're trying to say, but it's not correct enough, but I know what you're trying to say, because nothing is correct enough except for God's pure word. But I know what you're trying
right.
to say by that.
Right, but it's got, so it's got enough information
enough
that...
tidbits in there
yes.
where you can pick up...
Yeah, you can learn enough to know that in order to be saved, it's through grace.
Yes.
Or even just knowing that, okay, this is something different than what was taught
mm-hmm.
in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right.
So.
Which begs to differ, how do you know what the true word is? Because we went to a church where the preacher literally said, it doesn't matter what Bible you use.
Hmm.
And that's when I was out.
A lot of churches say that.
Yeah. But you can't say that and then say, well, go to this version because this is the one that I like. But
right.
Don't look at the at this version of it. Go to this one because this is the one that I really think hits home.
Yeah.
That's not how you read the Bible.
Yeah, you can't jump version to version.
In any other version besides KJV, I will guarantee you, and I would put my life on the line saying this, you cannot put all the pieces together like you can in the KJV.
Absolutely.
So if you want to hear God's true word, which you should, if you love God and you are a Christian, that should be your number one goal, is to hear what he literally is trying to tell you. If you're not reading out of that Bible version, then you cannot put God's word together.
Yep.
You can't piece it all together.
Not properly.
And once you see it in the KJV, it will blow your mind how incredibly...
Oh my gosh.
It's so amazing.
It's so easy to read once you learn how to read it.
Everything is wound together in every imaginable way possible. You can't...
Right.
A man could not do it.
Yep.
There's no way.
All right, verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise my... Actually, you know what? I'm going to jump back to that real quick. So... I listened to a Baptist preacher on YouTube explain some of what we're going over today. And I'm using some of what he said because it's so true. So verse 9 is what he really focused on. And that's what we just covered about false doctrine. And some of the stuff he said, a lot of the stuff he said was correct. But he still preaches false doctrine with baptism. And saying the sinner's prayer. Neither of those things are required, and they're both works.
Still leading people astray.
There's no such thing as a sinner's prayer. Show me in the Bible, any Bible, that there's a sinner's prayer.
It's man-made.
It's work. That's what it is. It is an outward work. Because if you don't do that according to them, you're not saved. There is no prayer.
God didn't say to do that.
God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows if you have faith. So, that's all I'll say about that. Okay, verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? What's he saying here? He's saying, if I was teaching circumcision, then I wouldn't be persecuted right now. He's saying he doesn't preach the law. If you're preaching the law, then he wouldn't be persecuted. He's being persecuted because he's preaching grace. He says that he didn't teach them the law, as was the way in the Old Testament, early New Testament. He was given a mystery gospel from Jesus, and that is what he is teaching and being persecuted for.
So if you think about, this is what I don't understand. How do you look at the two groups? How do you look at the two preachings of the 12 and Paul and not say that they're different? Because if you look at Paul's life versus the apostles' life, how much was Paul persecuted for teaching what he was teaching? He was consistently going through persecution, being thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Nobody believed a word the man said because it was so different than what the 12 were preaching. But people won't admit that they were different teachings. So if they were the same teaching, then why was he persecuted so much? You cannot say that there was no difference between what the 12 were preaching and what Paul was preaching if you just simply take a look at what Paul went through. Why was he persecuted? Why? Because he was teaching the opposite of what the 12 were teaching.
He was teaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And he was crucified, buried, and raised again. He wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't a prophet. He was the Son of God. And that's the biggest thing they had a problem with.
Well, I'm saying he was persecuted because he was teaching different than the 12.
Oh, yeah.
He was persecuted because he was teaching grace, not law.
Right, right.
Because the law was very firmly established. Very firmly.
And everybody, Paul knew it better than anybody.
Everybody knew the law. And he was persecuted because now he comes in after getting this mystery revealed to him by Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
Telling him to go preach grace.
Yeah, but it was different. So, whoa.
And now everybody's persecuting Paul because the law is very established and he is teaching the complete opposite. He's saying, do not do any works.
Right.
Do not be circumcised. Do not follow the law. You believe in the gospel, period, alone. You do not water baptize. Tell me that Paul preached how to water baptize. Tell me. He did not.
Nope.
The 12 went out and baptized.
Yeah. And people...
How do you say that those are the same?
People say, well, Jesus was water baptized.
I'm not
Jesus.
He was.
And you know why Jesus was water baptized? Because he had to follow the law for priesthood, for being able to preach. So back, what was it? I think Moses and Aaron, or no, the tabernacle was when they first started doing water baptism, I believe. But in order to become a priest, they had to be water baptized. So if you want to tell me that Jesus was water baptized because he needed his sins washed away.
Oof, I'm sure you've seen that book going around on Facebook, that meme where they went and took Jesus down to the river to have his sins washed away.
Oh, I haven't
seen
that.
That's a hot topic. You sent it to me.
I sent it to you. Of course I've seen it. I don't remember. Did you just look at your camera like it's on?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was looking in front of me.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, her camera's not on because she slept for 17 hours and she doesn't accept how beautiful she is. So, can we turn the heat off? I'm starting to get pretty warm. So Jesus was water baptized to be considered part of the priesthood, because Jesus never sinned. If you feel like he was water baptized because he needed his sins washed away, then you need to reevaluate your beliefs. So, Paul was water baptized because, was it Ananias?
It was a transitional period.
Well, but he was water baptized because that's what was understood at the time, mm-hmm. was that you were to be water baptized to wash away your sins. Once the full gospel was revealed to Paul, there is no water baptism. We're baptized by the blood of Christ. That's it.
And he even says, God sent me not to baptize.
Yeah. One baptism for all. All right. So verse 12. I would they were even cut off from... My goodness gracious. What are we... How long have we been doing this? 30 minutes. Okay. Well, there's my cutoff. So verse 12. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren... Ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If you walk in the Spirit, then you are no longer under the law. Because when you were under the law, or when they were under the law, they weren't under the Spirit. If you believe by faith, you are no longer under the law. If you focus on your faith and living for God and not for the flesh, then you will be doing right. If you live for the flesh, then you will be doing the things that God does not want us to do. Basically, what Paul was trying to say is that if you are saved by grace, saved by faith, put your full trust in God, then you shouldn't want to live by the flesh. You have died from the flesh, died of the flesh. When Christ was crucified, he took all our sins. You died of flesh when you accepted that, when you put your faith in him, and you now live under the Spirit. And if you're living under the Spirit, then why do you care about the flesh? You should be living for God, not for the earth. Who cares about the earth? We should be taking care of each other, yes, and looking out for our brothers and our sisters. But we shouldn't be living under the flesh and fleshly things. The only thing we should be worried about now is reaching out to our brothers and sisters and bringing them into God with us. And studying to show ourselves approved. We only want to impress God. We don't care about impressing anybody on this earth. Let's impress God.
Which is how Paul lived his life.
And yes.
That's why he was persecuted so much.
Exactly. This freedom of grace doesn't mean to use your freedom as an excuse to sin. Just because God's given us the easiest gift, and just because we can't lose our salvation, doesn't mean we should live in sin. As an excuse to do whatever you want to do? No. It doesn't mean to give in to your impulses and sinful fleshly desires. Love one another and serve each other. Don't care only for yourself and your fleshly desires. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Strive to stay away from the fleshly sins. We've been told time and again that we are not to do these things. We will not lose salvation if we do these things, but that does not mean we should be doing them. Stop living in sin. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise."
I love that verse because it says sealed. That means there's no way that you're getting redacted out of that. No way.
It gives me chills.
And also, I wanted to find this verse. Romans 6:15 says, let me see if I need to read. Okay, let me go back to 14. So Romans 6:14 and 15. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid."
Yep.
So that still is saying that we should not be sinning. However, as we just saw in Ephesians, we're sealed. Even if we do sin, that doesn't mean we're going to be plucked out of heaven because we're plucked from our salvation because we do sin. We're still told not to sin. But we should be doing our very best. Just because we're under grace does not give us a free ticket to sin. We should still be trying our best not to sin.
Yep.
But we are under the dispensation of grace that if we do sin, we will not be punished for it if we are saved.
Right. Our sins are already forgiven.
They have been taken care of if you believe.
So what that word is that I couldn't pronounce, it's the definition online is feeling morbid sexual desire or a propensity to lewdness. So there you go. Okay. So, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So, reading this just now, vainglory just hit me. So something that we've said before, doing this YouTube channel, this Facebook page, the podcast and all that, we're not here for the glory. We're not here for any of that.
No, I would say if anything, it would be the opposite.
All right.
We get so much crap for.
Yeah.
Saying what they want to hear.
We're here to bring truth and light. So you see all these mega preachers, and I they're such a great example.
To listen to them.
Yeah.
And I remember you even saying, "Man, he is such a great motivational speaker." That's all it is.
Yep.
A motivational speech.
Yep.
That's it. It doesn't have anything to do with God.
They're there for their own glory. And like, what was his name? Furtick?
Stephen Furtick.
Calls himself equal to God.
He said, "I am God."
Yeah.
And he said it in two videos, not just one, because we thought maybe he misspoke and didn't mean to say that. No, he says it in two.
So you need to pay attention to who you're listening to. The mega preachers. I wouldn't listen to any of them.
Nope.
Because that's all they're there for is vainglory.
Money.
Would money be great? Oh, absolutely. To pay off my bills and not have to worry about any of that stuff.
Nothing for you in heaven.
Right. What does something for you in heaven is studying to show yourself approved.
It's on you and you alone. If you get up there, I said this in one of the other podcasts. If you get up there and you're standing in front of God and alone, nobody else is in front of you, next to you, it's you and him. And he says, well, why didn't, I have no idea, obviously, nobody knows what's going to happen when you meet him. But imagine yourself standing in front of him and he asks, why did you believe this? And you say, well, because that's what I was taught. That's what my preacher told. And he says, well, why didn't you go back and study it in the Bible? I got chills on my face. Like, yeah. Can you imagine doing that? You can't hold somebody else accountable for your actions when you get in front of God. And he asks you, if he does ask you, I don't know what it's going to be like, but I am confident in saying that I know what his word says because I found the real source of his word. And if you're wavering and you think, well, I believe most of what's in my Bible, but this doesn't add up, but my preacher told me it's okay because he says this. Are you going to be okay with what your preacher tells you when you're standing in front of God? Or are you going to be okay because you have studied it out in the source of the Bible, of God's word? You have to be 100% confident in what you're studying. So when you do get in front of him, he's going to hold you accountable, not somebody else, and you're confident in that.
Let me break this down so that everybody can understand a little easier. You find out next week you have a test. You say, hey, let's try and get the answers to the test real quick, and so that we don't have to actually study it ourselves. And you go, you find the answers, you steal them, you study the answers, you know them in and out. You get to the test, and it's a completely different test. And they say, well, why didn't you know the answers? Well, because I was given the answers from somebody else. Oh, well, I guess you still fail, don't you? Because you didn't study to know the right information. Study to show yourself approved.
You can't go off of anybody else's thoughts, or that's why it's so important to have the correct word of God, because you're, the minute you read from a Bible, you're either reading from the pure word of God or you're reading from man's interpretation. And that's dangerous.
And just so we're clear, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're not doing that, you're wrong. You failed the test. That's it.
And
period.
There's not any redos.
Nope. That's it. That's all you got. You got one chance at this. So, I know I said it earlier, but I'm going to say it again because it's that important. The freedom of grace does not mean to use your freedom as an excuse to sin. It's not an excuse to do whatever you want to do. It doesn't mean to give in to your impulses and sinful fleshly desires. Love one another and serve each other. Don't care only for yourself and your fleshly desires. If you are Christ's and you believe in faith and grace, then you no longer walk in the flesh. You have crucified the flesh and are now living in the Spirit. We should only strive to be of the Spirit and not of the flesh. We should want to live by faith and grace and not of the flesh. Let me read that one again. We should want to live by faith and grace and not of the flesh. Being of Christ, we should not want to fall to temptation. Do we? Absolutely. Every day we sin, we fall to the flesh. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pick ourselves up and push to be better. It means we should strive to be more like Christ every day. Every day, we should be trying harder to be more Christ-like. We will never reach that, but we should try. Stop living in the flesh. Live by faith. Live by grace. Anything to add?
Nope.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for Paul's writings of your gospel. Without that, life would be so hard. It would be impossible to get into heaven. It would be impossible to be saved. We thank you and we praise you every day. Help us to be more like you. Help us to be less of the flesh and more of the spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a phenomenal week, and we will see you throughout. Well, we will post things throughout the week, and we will see you next Sunday. Y'all have a good week.